Good morning, everyone. I am Rosanna, your hostess for today. Welcome to Declare Victory. Are there any first-time callers by chance? If so, would you like to say good morning and tell us who invited you? Excuse me. Okay, then the events are as follows. As you know, today is Make It Happen Monday. This is where we do service, service acts and good deeds to someone, as Christ would do. Let us be the Jesus that some people may never see. Tonight you're invited to join us this evening for Marriage Matters for married couples and marriage hopefuls from 6 to 7 Pacific time. You will hear real life lessons and raw discussion as God planned it all to be. Lastly, if you have been blessed by the call and understand and believe in the global vision and you are led to partner with Declare Victory by changing lives one deed at a time, please visit the Victory Room on Facebook. It's a private page in the forum. There's a website or the mobile app and click the link to donate. For all that have decided to give, thank you, and the people, bless you also. The online prayer requests are JC is asking for prayer for Sister Pat Edwards that she will not need surgery and be completely healed. Thank you for his healing strength. And JC, for Wayne Warren Payne, for his strength in his left leg. The order of the call is scripture is by the Mrs., declaration by Pamela. First prayer warrior is Dee Dee, followed by Jeff, Beverly, and closing is Sabrina. Once again, scripture is the Mrs., declaration Pamela. Prayer is Dee Dee, Jeff, Beverly, and Sabrina. If you have not done so, would you please take the time to mute your line by pressing *6 or the standard mute feature, or both. Clarity of the phone call without distortion would be greatly appreciated. And at this time, I will turn the call over to the missus and meet everyone at the top of the hour. Have a blessed day.
Good morning, everyone. I will be reading James 2 and 26. And it reads, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the doers of his holy word as I pass the call.
Good morning. Good morning. I first off would like to just thank everyone for their participation. I heard a lot of new voices this morning. Susie, thank you so much for greeting, and Gloria, it's so good to hear your voice this morning for participating and reading the prayer request this morning. Also want to thank Rosanna for hosting and for the missus for that scripture. Thank you so much. This morning, our topic, if you need a topic, for this morning's declaration, it'll be how to ensure success, just do it. It comes from Joshua 6, 1 through 5. "Now Jericho was shut up inside and out because of the Israelites. No one came out and no one went in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have handed over Jericho to you, along with the kings and soldiers. You shall march around the city, all the warriors circling around the city once. Thus you shall do this for 6 days. When the seventh day comes, seven priests bearing seven trumpets of rams and before the ark. And on the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests will blow their trumpets. And when a long blast will come of the ram horns, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpets, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and all the people shall charge straight ahead." Yesterday, I'm sure many of you had an opportunity to bear witness of the historical event, the Super Bowl 50. And many of us had the opportunity to really watch as Peyton Manning, a two-time Super Bowl ring and future Hall of Famer, led the team to such victory. A lot of people, though, doubted whether or not he would even make it to the Super Bowl because of the most, you know, he was going through so many trials this year in his career with his injuries. Many felt like, you know, what he had gone through the year and how he had persevered and overcame so many things, they were just really shocked to see him at the Super Bowl, you know, excited and exhilarated, but yet, you know, surprised. Now, it made me kind of think about all of the training and the skills that these football players have to go through in order to succeed, to achieve this level of success. And it made me think about, as Christians, what we need to do to obtain a level of success. You know, what do each one of us need to do to ensure a level of success in our life? And as I began to pray about it, God revealed to me like 3 different things that we need to do, some critical decisions we need to make in order to ensure success. One is that we need to come to the understanding and knowledge that God is faithful. God is such a faithful God, and we have to know this with every fiber of our being, that God is faithful. Whether you can see him or not, you just have to know in your heart that God is a faithful God and that he will do whatever he says that he will do. Whether we have abundance or not, we need to still have that resolve in our heart that God is faithful. We have to decide in our heart that we are serving a faithful God. And it's a decision you have to make up in your mind, regardless to what circumstances might look like in our lives. We have to have this decision made up in our mind that God is faithful. We have to have this knowledge that God is faithful. The second thing, as believers, we have to know and decide in our mind that we will believe God. And it has to be a decision that no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, no matter what things look like, that we will believe God. So God is faithful. We have to believe God. For God's not a man that he would lie. And the scripture says that anything that he says in his word, it will not return to him void. You know, whether we have wealth or no wealth, we have to believe God. When all is lost, when all hope is lost in our life, we have to come to a decision to believe God and to trust God. The Bible says, "Whose report shall we believe?" We need to believe the report of God. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Because with success comes challenges in our lives. You know, you might feel like God is capable of doing, you know, working with you at when it comes to your family or when it comes to certain things in your life. But as believers, we have to believe that God is capable of doing everything and anything that we can even ask or think. The other thing that in order to succeed, achieve success, is we need to not just believe that God is a faithful God and believe that God can do anything, but we need to make a decision to do whatever God tells us to do. It sounds simple, but it's oftentimes a very difficult thing to do, to just set out and just do whatever he tells us to do. You look at the Bible and you see different people throughout the Bible and the things that God has required of them to do and how they literally dropped everything to do it. Think about it. Noah, you know, for him to build an ark and God to just say, it's going to rain. I'm sure he was like, really, God? But God is calling upon us to really move to that next level and to really trust him on a level that we've never trusted him before. Now, for me, I love praising God. I love worshiping God. I love going to church. And for me, worshiping God and praising God is easy to do. But what's difficult to do is when the Bible tells us to love our enemies or to love those who despitefully use us or to love those who, you know, are trying to inflict harm upon us. Now, those things are difficult for us to do. But God is calling upon us to bless those who curse us. And like I said, pray for those who despitefully use us. But in order to achieve success, the level of success that God wants to take us to, we need to be willing to go that extra mile and to do whatever, things that make no sense at all, none what all, none, you know, nothing that makes no sense whatsoever. Like I said, in the Bible, we see several examples of this. We see where he called Abraham to take his son to sacrifice him. And I'm sure Abraham was thinking, are you kidding? Like, but yet Abraham was so trusting in what God told him to do and obedient that he stepped out and did it. You know, you had Jeremiah who stepped out and was walking in the middle of the street prophesying about God, you know, in the nude, and yet he continued to do what God told him to do because this is what God called upon him to do. The word says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God has come to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. And we have to trust that everything that God is calling us to do, that we need to step out on faith and just do it. We have to make a decision in our mind to do it. Now, the text that I was using was from Joshua, and in this particular scripture, you know, we see how God was asking Joshua to do something completely impossible. And in the first few chapters of Joshua, you know, he tells him to meditate on the word, you know, to keep it before him day and night. And it makes perfect sense that he would tell him to meditate on the word, because in meditating on the word, it gives us strength to be able to really step out and trust God on a level that we've never trusted him before. And he knew that he was going to require Joshua to do something that would seem literally impossible. He already told him that he was going to give him the city and that he was going to, everything, you know, in the city was going to be his. But all he had to do was to walk around the city for 7 days and on the seventh day, walk around it seven times. Now, Jericho was this city that was a walled city, and it had actually two walls. One wall was like 12 feet high, and the second wall was 6 feet high, and it was angled at a 35-degree incline. And I'm sure even those who were following Joshua thought that this was a crazy request, you know, because they were soldiers. And they were probably thinking, we're soldiers. We're called to fight. We're called to, you know, win wars. And now you're telling us not to fight, to be quiet and to walk around the city and to be quiet and not to speak at all. So often God calls us to do things that make absolutely no sense whatsoever. I know in my life there have been times that, you know, God has called me to do things that literally made no sense. But I had to just trust that God was going to be there for me. Like, it literally made no sense at all. And I've shared this story before, for me to just pack up everything in my car, drive cross country to California, and to leave my family who were in Arizona. But I knew that this is what God was calling me to do, and I knew that God needed me to get out of the city and to get someplace else in order for him to change my life for me. And it's just amazing because as a result of me being obedient, as a result of me stepping out in faith and obeying him and doing what he called me to do, so many things begin to change in my life, things that I had never, ever expected. The first thing that happened was once I got to California, it wasn't easy. Once I got to California, I found out that there were schools here in California, like seminaries that I could actually attend. And I actually went and applied for a seminary within 3 months after moving here. And to show you how God began to move on my behalf and began to open doors for me and my son. Once we got here in the city, it normally takes a 6 month to 12 month process to apply for schools, to actually get accepted in and to go through the whole process. God had me to go in, fill out the forms in November, and by January, before January, everything was accepted. My housing was approved. My tuition was going to be taken care of, and everything was laid out for me. And it was like nobody but God. But it requires us to understand that God is faithful. It requires us to step out in faith and just do what he tells us to do, even though it seems ridiculous, even though everybody else is telling you this is the wrong decision to make, that you need to make a different decision or you know, do something different. You know, it requires us to just trust whatever it is that God says he's going to do, he's going to do it. And to just step out, like I said, with Joshua, he had already told him, I'm going to give you the city. I'm going to give you, it's already yours. All you have to do is go in and inhabit it and just walk around the city and do what I tell you to do, follow these specific guidelines and these specific steps. And it's amazing because when you follow the guidelines of God and you follow the steps that he tells you to follow in the way that he tells you to do it, when you already know that the victory is yours, you're able to follow those guidelines and those steps with such an ease, with such a confidence that it's amazing. It's like attending, going to a fight that you already know that you're going to win. It's like approaching a fight when you know the outcome already. I don't know if any of you have ever, you know, been in a fight before, but I know one time I had to fight as a child. This young girl in school, and she was kind of a bully, and I remember telling my older brother about it, and he was like, well, this is what you need to do, and you need to, you know, meet her after the school bus, and I'll make sure I'm there. But just knowing that my brother was going to be there gave me so much confidence in knowing that it was going to be okay. And sure enough, as soon as we got there off the school bus, and, you know, my brother was kind of walking in the distance with his friend. Initially, I didn't see him, but as he began to walk or turn the corner, I saw my brother there. And then, you know, I kind of got a little strength, you know, it's like I started, like, you know, feeling more confident. And that's, God will give us that confidence when we approach challenges and we approach situations in life that seem completely impossible, when we approach circumstances or bullies or things that seem like it makes no sense at all. If we understand that God is going to be faithful, if we trust him at his word, and if we follow everything that he tells us to do, we will have victory. We will succeed. We will be able to accomplish everything that God is calling us to do. And I just want to share with each of you on the call, these past few years have been so difficult for me over the last, say, 2 to 3 years, just financially, just I didn't know how things were, ends were going to meet from time to time. But I stand now, you know, here on this call, knowing with great confidence that God's got it. And as time goes on, the next couple of months, I'm going to be able to really share with you guys some things that God has opened, the doors that God has opened, some things that he's doing in my life, and just to share with you how he turned things around on my behalf. And I know he can do the same for you as I pass the call.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. In spite of all life situations, my daily confession is going to be gratitude. So, Lord, I say good morning to you. Thank you for a new day, new grace and new mercy. Thank you for breath, God. Thank you for the ability to hear, to see, to walk, and to talk. Thank you that you covered and protected us as we slept last night. Thank you for everything. Those things that we sometimes take for granted, I thank you for shelter, for waking up in a warm place, for running water, for lights, for a bed to sleep in, God. I even thank you for a bar of soap. Yes, those things we just take as minor. I want to say thank you. Thank you for our sound minds, God, and for every prayer request spoken or not spoken this morning. For those that were in the lineup on this morning, God, I thank you. Thank you for Susie and for Rosanna and for Gloria and for the misses, for that scripture in James 2 and 26, and God, for Rosanna hosting, and continue to cover her and her son, God. Continue to keep her and give her your peace and cover him and keep him safe and speak to his heart and just regulate his mind so that relationship between mother and son can be restored, God. I've seen you do it so many times, so I thank you in advance for that. I thank you for Pamela's declaration, God, Joshua 6, just do it. That was amazing and much needed. I thank you for Brother Jeff that's coming after me, and beautiful Beverly and my sister Sabrina, God, who will close us out. Continue to just replenish the intercessors on the wall, those that just stand in the gap on the behalf of others, God. And as we're depleted, I know you will replenish us, so I thank you, God. And as we continue to lift up Maddie, God, and you know the situation, and give Michelle strength as Madison had to be seen in the emergency room last night, Jehovah Rapha, we just call on you to heal that baby, God, and just whatever it is that she's going through, God, you know all about her because you created her. So we'll continue to lift up Madison and Michelle, God, and asking that you will cover Pat Edwards. Sister Pat Edwards, JC, is praying and asking that she will not need surgery because she is healed of you, God, and we thank you in advance for that. We thank you for Warren Payne, that he's having healing. He needs healing in his left leg, so we're trusting you. So many cries out for healing in the physical body. So we know who to trust and who to call on, God. Also, lifting up Patty Caldwell and her entire family as they are still making preparations for her mother's homegoing, God. But you know Patty as well. And I just thank you that you blessed her to be there to see about her mom, God. And she honored your wishes. So I thank you for blessing her. And as April is going to have human resources issues on her job, you know all about that too, God. Remind April who's in control, that you are her source and that this job is her resource. But give her peace while she's going through this situation, God. Just show favor in whatever it is, God, because you know the story from the beginning to the end. So we trust you for April's victory, God, whatever it is, that she will get the victory in it, God. And also for Carolyn Madison as well, God. Brother Taylor, I believe it is. God, you know the situation, the story. I can't see it all clearly, but you know, God. So I'm just thanking you for every prayer request, every victor that's on the line, that you will just meet the needs, God, because you know them all one by one. So I thank you in advance for being God all by yourself. There's so many of us that are facing life difficulties, so guard our hearts. Help us to endure. For all of us standing in need of prayer, God, we just keep trusting in you. It may not look good right now, but doesn't he always turn it around for us? God will never leave us nor forsake us. God has not forgotten about that situation. His timing is just that, his timing. Continue to trust him, because the more you trust God, the more he will amaze you. Your test will become your testimony. Your message will become your message. I know that. Lord, empty us all so we can be filled with you. Empty out every one of us that's not filled with you, God, so we're not filled up with bitterness, envy, strife, misery, pain, grudge holding, whatever that's not of you, God. We all know that bitterness is poisonous. We want to be better and not bitter in 2016 on this Make It Happen Monday, God. As long as we're full of everything but you, you will use someone else. I just thank you that when we start flowing in the things of God, the enemy will retreat and be mad. And I thank you that we know that he is to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll steal our dreams and kill our peace and destroy our entire lives if we're not roaring. We have to roar. We have to war. We have to know that it's that our weapon is in our praise, is when we open up our mouths, God. But we also have to be careful and watch the words that we speak. Watch what we say to ourselves. Watch what we say to our spouses. Watch what we say to our children, our grandchildren, to each other, to the victors. Hallelujah. Even when we try to add a LOL to the end of it as it being a joke, because words are powerful. Yes, sticks and stones may break our bones, but words can and will kill you. I thank you, God. We have to remember to speak well of things. Speak well about those people that don't even speak well of us. That's what your word says. I thank you for that. We have to be bold in this thing, in this walk. And thank you, Sister Pamela, for that amazing declaration to never say what you can't do. We have to just continue to trust you, God, in everything that you do and not walk in fear, because fear is false evidence appearing real. And I know a lot of things we say sound cliche, but the truth is the truth. The enemy is as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers, us, throughout this world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. So understand, victors, who you are. Understand who you are in your right. Get rid of that maybe attitude. Like Pamela said, just do it. Take your rightful places. We are soldiers in God's mighty army. We must stay ready so we don't have to get ready, because the battle's already won. But we still must fight the good fight of faith in this thing, because if God be for us, who can be against us? He's our warrior. He fights for us. He's our shield. He's our protection. He's our refuge. He's our provider. He's our peace. He's our joy. He's our strength. He's our all in all. The battle's already won, but we must declare victory and walk like we are victorious. Hallelujah. As I pass the call to Brother Jeff, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. for another day, another opportunity to cry out to you, Lord God, to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the breath of life, Lord God, that flows in our lungs. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for Sister Dee Dee, Lord God, and Sister Pamela, Lord God, and everyone that have went before me this morning and everyone that shall come after me, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for every prayer request, Lord God, that you have heard this morning, that you know the ins and outs, Lord God, of every prayer request, Lord God. And we want to say thank you, Lord God, for coming to the aid and the need, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord God, I want to thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. Yes. I thank you, Lord God, for your love, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you for what you have instilled in us. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Lord God, we won't quit, Lord God. We shall be faithful to you. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Lord God, we shall do your will, Lord God, because it is you that first loved us, Lord God. Oh, thank you for your word, Lord. Lord God, we will keep your commandments, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for the evidence, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord. The evidence of faith in our lives, Lord God. Thank you for your power, Lord. Power to do your will. Oh, thank you, Lord God. I thank you for change. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, change, Lord God, that's representing the courage and the strength in our lives today, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord God, Jesus. I just want to say thank you. For keeping us, Lord God. Thank you for keeping us, Lord God. Lord God, thank you that it is your voice, Lord God, that we are able to hear, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that it is you, Lord God, that we shall follow, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. We don't want to be drawn away, Lord God, by our own lust, Lord God, or the cares of this world. So, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for your protection, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we know that we can cry out and plead the blood of Jesus over our lives, Lord God, in every situation. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. So, Lord God, I continue, Lord God, to say thank you for our children, Lord God, and for our families, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for every prayer, Lord God, for Lord Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord God. Thank you for empowering and endowing us with the ability, Lord God, to sacrifice, Lord God. That sacrifice, Lord God, turns into obedience, Lord. Oh, thank you for change, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we can see the change in our lives today. That we're no longer, oh, hallelujah. We much farther away, Lord God, from the people we used to be. That we draw nigh to you, Lord God, day by day. So, Lord God, as we continue to thank you for watching over our children, Lord God. Our young children, Lord God, and our teenage children, Lord God, and our adult children, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that your will shall be done in their lives, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that our prayers, Lord God, we believe that we shall receive, Lord God, when we pray. Lord God, I lift up the workplace to you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every job, Lord God. Lord God, I lift up those that are seeking employment, Lord God, that hallelujah, desire to work, Lord God, to earn an income to provide for their families, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you bless them, Lord God, that you give them, Lord God, the job that you have for them, Lord God. So we thank you in advance for that, Lord God. Lord God, I pray and I lift up our communities to you this morning, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that the crime rate is going down, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, that the rate of violence, Lord God, is going down, Lord God. We believe, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Every community, Lord God. Lord God, I lift up our friends, Lord God, and our neighbors, Lord God. Pray that you bless them, Lord God. Give them all, Lord God, that you allow us to have, Lord God. Yes, Lord. Those that talks about us, Lord God, and that gives us a bad look, Lord God. Those that don't care for us, Lord God, I lift them up to you, Lord God. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you bless them, Lord God, that you touch their hearts and their mind, Lord God, that you draw them nigh to you. Lord God, I lift up every marriage to you, Lord God. Strengthen marriages today, Lord God, all over this nation, Lord. Not only the marriages, Lord God, that is connected to this prayer line, Lord, I pray for each and every marriage, Lord God, every covenant vow, Lord God, that have been made. I pray that you strengthen these marriages, Lord God. And Lord God, as I prepare to come to a close this morning, Lord God, and pass the call, Lord God, I want to send out a special prayer, Lord God, for classroom 122 and classroom 121, Lord God. Lord God, I pray a special prayer for those children in those classrooms, Lord, and their parents, Lord God, the teacher and the teacher's aide, Lord God. Lord God, help us to love on those children, Lord God. Give us a little extra ability to nurture and provide those classrooms whatever they need, Lord God. They have some challenges, Lord God, that ordinary children don't have, Lord God. So, Lord, I pray for compassion, Lord God, for those classrooms, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray, as I pass the call.
Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I thank you for everyone who has come before me and for the person to follow me. Bless them all, Lord, for their commitment to serve and the sacrifices made this day. And everyone on this line today, bless them, keep them, protect them, Lord, for them and their families. Lord, I thank you for the times changes in the seasons. Thank you for the wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Lord, raise up righteous and wise, God-fearing people to look over us, govern us, and put down anything that is wicked. Cleanse our cities, Father God, our states and our local government, nation of unrighteous leaders, decisions, and dealings. Lord, place upon their hearts of everyone to bring in the right person to lead this country as the upcoming elections and appointments approach us. Expose any deceit in our local city and county government, including all hidden activities. Keep our President Obama and his family safe from the traps of the enemy. Almighty God, we stand before you in supplication, asking your divine mercy and protection. Send your warring angels and your invincible armor, covering our loved ones in all branches of the military service. Give them courage and strength against all enemies, both spiritual and physical, and hurry their safe journey back home to their families. And Father God, look over those that are right here on our own land. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus for their courage. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and danger. Prevent evil from happening to your chosen, righteous, and innocent ones. Rise up and defend the weak and the powerless. Lord, it is time to send restoration to the churches that will return first love devotion to Jesus, a passion to seek him in prayer, and a love for the things that please the heart of God that will overflow into our community with righteous living, good deeds, and evangelistic witness. Grant our pastors deep convictions and high ethical values. Increase their genuine desire for souls. Lord, true promotion comes from you. Therefore, promote them in your kingdom, in your timing. Keep them bathed in anointed worship. Keep them from the traditions of men and religion, which deny the full presence and power of you, God. You promise to make your ministers a flame of fire, which is said in Psalms. Do so with these shepherds. Grant them a fresh revelation of heaven and hell, that they may preach with increased unction. Father God, look over our world, the things that are happening, the things that are to come. We thank you for the victories, Father God, and we thank you for the experiences. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for your grace and mercy. Father God, these things we ask in your darling Son Jesus' name as I pass the call.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you, adding my voice to this course of prayers that's already gone up before you, God. We've prayed for the nation, God. We pray for the country. We pray for our cities and our government, God. So I come before you, God, just lifting up my family of victors on today, God, praying for each and every one that's on the line, God, each and every one that's comprised of this family, God, asking that you would meet the need on this Make It Happen Monday. God, I pray specifically for those that are standing in the seat of discussion, God, and in the seat of needing to make a decision, God, I ask that you would touch their minds, touch their hearts. God, remind them that you are with them and that every decision that they have to make, God, their steps are ordered by you. So, God, I lift them up today, God, asking that you meet every need. God, that you meet every need, that you provide comfort. God, that you provide shelter, that you provide strength, that you provide, God, just stability. Whatever is lacking, God, I pray that you would be the provision for them. God, I ask that you would open up their eyes, open up their understanding. God, remind them that they are never alone. God, I pray specifically for those that are wavering in faith, God, not that they don't believe that you'll do it, because they absolutely know that you can, God, but they don't believe that you'll do it for them. God, I ask that you would increase their faith, that you will do it even for them on this Make It Happen Monday. God, I ask that you would be with my sister as she goes down to human resources, that you would word her mouth. God, you said that the king's heart is already in your hands, so I ask that you would prepare the way, God, so that she won't really have to even speak, that the way will already be made and that the outcome will work in her favor. God, I thank you on today for those that will be traveling, God, those that will be moving about. God, I pray for traveling grace and mercy, that it will overshadow and overtake, that the way will go before us, God. Your angels of mercy and grace will provide, God, a hand, a shield of protection. God, I ask that you will just be with those that travel on the 80 corridor here in the Bay Area. God, that you will shield them, God, from danger, seen and unseen. God, I pray for those that are caught up in the freeway shooting on yesterday. God, I thank you that no lives were lost. But God, we lift up that individual who was hurt, asking that you would make a way out of no way, God, that you would provide supernatural healing. God, we come against PTSD and any fear of driving that may result from that incident. God, I ask that you would bless the families of those three young people that were killed in a fiery accident in San Francisco. God, I ask that you would touch and do what only you can do, God, which is comfort beyond measure. God, I ask that you would give peace and understanding what in a situation that absolutely seems to make no sense. God, we trust you with every aspect of our lives. God, we thank you in advance for those we will come in contact with on this Make It Happen Monday. We thank you that you will put the words in our mouth, God, that you will put the provision in our hands to make it happen for someone on today. God, we thank you for those who will be encouraged. God, we thank you for those who you're preparing to cross our path. God, we thank you that they will be encouraged. They will see you in a way that they've never seen before. They will experience you in a way that they've never experienced before, and their lives will be changed. Their hearts will be made glad. Their joy will be made feel full on today. God, we just thank you in advance for an opportunity to worship and to serve you. God, we thank you that you chose us. You loved us, God, when we didn't even love ourselves. God, we thank you that you loved us first on today. God, we ask that you would just continue to be in our hearts and in our minds, continue to govern our lives, to order our steps. God, we thank you that your word is a light and a lamp, God, in this dark and evil day. So, God, we just thank you for giving us everything that we need, everything that pertains to life and godliness. God, we can go on and on and on and thank you for what you've done. God, we can thank you for what you're doing. We can thank you for what you're going to do because you're faithful to your word, God, and we thank you that your word will not return to you void. So as we begin to take our phones off mute and collectively thank you as a family for the petitions that's gone up before you, God, we thank you for how you're blessing Cindy on today. God, we thank you for her testimony. We thank you for her being able to bear witness that you're faithful and that you're good to those who believe and to trust in you, God. We thank you in advance, God, for what you're going to do. We thank you for more miracles to come. We bless you together as a family, God. We're taking our phones off mute and we're worshiping
Hallelujah,
you, God.
Jesus.
We're thanking you, God, for what you're doing. We're blessing you for making it to another Monday, another week that you've kept us, God. Another week that you've been faithful and you've watched over our children and our families, God. We thank you for another week of provision. God, we thank you, hallelujah, for another week of mental health, God, of good physical health. God, we thank you, hallelujah, for activities of our limbs. We thank you, God, for another week of shelter, hallelujah, and food. God, we thank you for another week of choices. God, we thank you for another week, God, that you didn't have to let us see, but God, we thank you for another week to stand and declare your glory and your honor, God. We thank you for another week to declare your faithfulness, God. We thank you.
We thank you, Lord God,
for your eye, God, and lift it up and worthy to be praised, God. We thank you that you're the only true and living God. You're the only living God. And we bless your name on today for another opportunity to come before you and to praise you and to worship you, God. We thank you. Hallelujah. We bless your name all the day, God. You're so wonderful. You're so kind. You're so merciful, God. We thank you, God, that you've lifted us from every weapon that formed against us. We thank you that you didn't allow us to talk to God. We thank you, God,
that I can have
for everything that you've protected us from. God, we thank
according
you.
To your word, God.
God, we bless your name on today,
faithful. I thank you, Lord,
yes,
God,
you are, God.
Today you encourage my
yes,
heart.
God,
I thank you for every victor that is on this line. God, I thank you for those that didn't even want to get up this morning, but they
yes,
made
God.
It.
Yes, God, we thank you, God, for even those that are still sleeping. God, we have to
feel like they are at the end of their rope. God, help them to understand and know that they can hold on to your unchanging word, your unchanging hand, God. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord God, that
we
don't give up. Thank you, Lord God, that we
stretch
toward the mark of the
Hallelujah,
high calling.
That we're encouraged.
So
Hallelujah.
Set among
to
us,
continue
God.
To go
we
on in the name of Jesus.
That we understand
yes,
that
God.
This is not a flowery bed of ease.
Thank
we are
you,
at war.
We bless
there
your
is
name,
a spiritual
yes,
war
God.
That is going on.
Thank
and as your soldiers,
you,
God,
Jesus.
We will not name. Give up. God, we just
thank
bless
you,
God.
God. We bless your name, God,
you
because
feed
you're
us each and every morning, God. You have not
yes.
failed us
thank
one
you,
single
God.
Time
yes, God.
In these past 3 years.
God,
we thank
you
for
your
faithfulness.
Hallelujah.
For trusting in
and
you,
Lord
God.
And your mercy
in our
lives. Hallelujah. Thank you,
Lord God.
Hospital. She has asked me to please have all of the victors pray for her. She has to go in for several different kinds of tests that she doesn't know if they're going to keep her or not. I just hung up a few minutes ago, so if we can all lift her up, she's asking that everyone call out her name. If we can all
Amen.
Do that, that
Amen.
Would be
in
awesome.
The name of Jesus,
yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Your daughter, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
Jesus. So God, we come before you, God, before we transition the call, and we lift up our dear sister to you, God. We thank you that she's in your hands, God. We bless you. God, we ask that you will calm every fear, calm every anxiety. God, give her a gentle reminder that you are the great physician. God, and it's your report that we will believe. God, we thank you for a clean bill of health. God, we thank you for every diagnostic test coming back in her favor. God, we thank you that this too will be a testimony of your goodness and your mercy. God, we pray for the staff that will come in contact with her. God, we ask that you would bless their hands, that they will be steady. God, we thank you for their bedside manner. And God, we thank you that she's there, not for test, but God, to witness to them, God. We thank you that she will witness of your mercy and your grace, God. We thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Calm her heart, God. In the name of Jesus, give her peace that surpasses all understanding. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you in advance. Hallelujah. We bless you in advance.
hallelujah, for victory over even this. We thank you, God, and we bless you. We expect great and mighty things. Hallelujah. We bless your name, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for healing. Hallelujah. We thank you for regulation, God, in the name of Jesus. We bless your name on today because you're watered and you are the great physician. Hallelujah. You are healer. We thank you for the balm in Gilead in the name of Jesus. We bless you and we praise you and we count it as done. Hallelujah. We count it as done. Hallelujah. These blessings and all others we ask in your precious Son Jesus' name. And we seal it with an amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And we pass the call. Thank you, God.
Amen. So as we go to the next portion of the call, is there any first-time callers on the line that didn't get a chance to say good morning, that would like to say good morning? If not, are there any victors on the call that would like to say good morning that didn't get a chance to?
Good morning, good morning. Ms. Andrea Bradley.
Good morning.
Good morning, it's Nyjah.
Good morning, Nyjah.
Good morning, it's Dion.
Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, it's Bridget.
Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning, it's Anthony.
Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, Asaya.
Hi.
Asaya.
Good morning, it's Bridget. I'm going to ask you guys to keep me lifted up in prayer today. I just got a call from my son-in-law, but I want to ask you guys to pray for his daughter. He had to take the flight out. They told him that there was nothing else that they can do in Mississippi, so he had to get court orders to have her airlifted to Texas. They airlifted her, just got a phone call. She didn't make it. She just died this morning.
Oh, no.
17 years old. Please keep me in prayer today.
Okay, Bridget.
Amen. We absolutely will. Just really quickly, if you don't mind, I know that we've already prayed. But that was a little bit different, and that's a little hard. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus,
we just stand
in the gap for Bridget, for her son, and for all of those that are related to her granddaughter, as well as those who knew her, her friends, her community, individuals she went to school with. God, we pray that you would comfort their heart, knowing that she is no longer suffering anymore. It's easier said than done to actually release. So, God, we just ask that whatever is needed, that you'll supply it and that you'll give the family the strength that is needed. God, and we pray that you would even make a way for Bridget to be able to go to the services, Lord Jesus, and to just be a strength and a comfort to her son. In the name of Jesus, thank God. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you for that prayer. Oh, is there anyone else?
Morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Brother Adrian. Anyone else?
Good morning, Sister Dondria.
Good morning, Sister Dondria.
Good morning.
Anyone else?
Good morning, family. This is Ruth.
Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning.
Good morning, it's Moni.
Good morning, Moni. Is there anyone else before we pass the call?
Good morning, Victory family. God bless you all.
Good morning, baby.
Good morning, baby doll.
Okay, I'm going to pass the call over to that wonderful woman that did the declaration this morning.
Good morning, my family and Victors. It's such a blessing to share with you this morning. And I just really want to thank everyone who participated this morning. There's so many new sounds on the line, and I'm just grateful for that. Susie, thank you again for greeting. And Gloria, thank you for reading all of the prayer requests. Rosanna, I really appreciate you hosting this morning. The Mrs., thank you so much for the scripture and for all of the prayers, the powerful prayers that were prayed. Dee Dee and Jeff and Beverly and Sabrina, thank you, thank you, thank you. And Tanya for closing us out for the prayer for Bridget. Thank you all for your participation. This morning, as I stated, I was kind of going back and forth on what to actually do with the declaration. And after the watching the Super Bowl and, you know, just watching these players just really.
Yes. Hello? Can you hear me?
Oh, that's me not on.
Can you please put your phones on mute, everyone, please?
You're fine,
after,
Pamela.
Okay, thank you. After watching the Super Bowl, and, you know, so many of us watch the Super Bowl for various reasons, maybe just to see the game, if our favorite team is playing, maybe it's to watch the commercials or the halftime show. But it really made me think about how much work and that it takes to really reach that level of excellence. And looking back over the season at Peyton Manning's season, and, you know, many people thought that he would never even get to a Super Bowl with all the injuries that he had early on in the season. And to see that his team, you know, not only made it, but was victorious and was able to win his second ring, it just made me really think about us and our life and what it is that we need to do to achieve that a level of success that God is calling us to as believers. And the things that continued to ring out so loud in my soul was, you know, we need to really believe that God is faithful and really understand what it means to serve a God who is so faithful, so faithful, so awesome. So, I mean, who opens doors that no man can shut, who performs all kinds of miracles and makes a way out of no way when things seem so impossible in our lives, when we face so many challenges, to serve a God who is so faithful. And then to believe God, you know, it takes, we're called to believe and to trust every word that he says and to really stand on that word and to really believe him. And then to step out and do what he calls us to do. And that sometimes can be really challenging depending upon what it is that he's calling us to do. And, you know, it kind of made me think about, you know, Joshua and the different ones in the Bible who were called on to do some really challenging things, things that seemed completely insane, things that seemed like was not possible to happen or to turn out the way that they are. But the good news is that, you know, we already know the end. We already know that the enemy's defeated. We already know that we have victory in the end. And it's frustrating when you see believers who walk around defeated already, knowing what the end is going to be, knowing that we've already been given the victory. So I want to just open the line up for the discussion and get some feedback on what different ones thought about the declarations, if anyone would like to share before we get into the specific questions.
I guess I'll go first.
Yes, go right ahead.
This is Adrian. Listening and following when God tells you to do things, I found it can be interesting because sometimes it makes no sense. And one of the things I used to do is I used to listen to see what he would say do. And like there was one time he told me to get up and to go to Reno. And I'm like, go to Reno, you know, like, why should I go to Reno? But I'm like, okay, you said go, so I like to drive because it's so beautiful, and I get a chance to see all the things that he's done. So I called my sister in Christ and asked her, I said, you want to go with me to Reno? She's like, nope. I said, why not? She's like, I don't want to go. God, did, you know, I'm staying at home. So I said, did you pray about it? She's like, no. So I hung up. She called me back a few minutes later and said, okay, the Lord told me to go with you. So we drove, and not knowing what to expect, but we went because he told us to go. And as we were driving, it was snow on the ground, and you know, some of the areas it's like so far from one entrance to another that, I mean, one on-ramp to an off-ramp that is like miles. So as we were driving, there was a car parked on the side with the hood up, and the Lord said, stop, and pick them up. And so I always say, Lord, you say, you know, you said, the sheep will know your voice, and the voice of a stranger you will not follow. And so I pulled over, and we picked them up, and it was a young man and a young lady, and they were on their way to Reno, but their car had died. And so we picked them up, and the Lord said, take them, and then take them home. So we took them, let them do what they were going to do, and then we took them home. And on the way, we found out that he was, I think, 21, and she was 18 or 19, and nobody knew they had gone. They had left South San Francisco, and nobody knew that they had gone. And they were out there by themselves, and they had a lot of questions about God. So we got a chance to talk about God. We got a chance to minister to them and answer questions. And it was such a beautiful drive that we went all the way there and came all the way back, and the time passed so quickly that we didn't even realize that we were in South San Francisco. But we got a chance to minister to them, and we don't know what would have happened if we hadn't been obedient to stop to pick them up. But we picked them up, and we got them home safely, and then we got home. And it was such a beautiful thing that we got a chance to minister and help someone. And so sometimes you have to just ask the Lord, okay, this is what you want me to do, and then go. So thanks for that declaration. It reminded me of a lot of things that God has had me do.
Thank you so much for sharing. And that's good because, you know, God sometimes will call us to do things that, like you said, will just make no sense, and we miss out on opportunities to be used by God or for God to be a blessing to someone else's life. Would anyone else like to share? So one of the questions that I wanted to ask, now I talked about how, you know, Joshua, you know, basically all of the people who were there with him, you know, this is like a military, a trained military team that were prepared to fight, to overtake the city. And yet they were told, not to fight, to march around the city and to march around seven times on seven different days and to remain silent the entire time. One of the questions I wanted to ask, have you ever been in a fight before? Have you ever experienced being in a fight? And if so, what were some of the challenges or concerns that you had? And would you have approached the fight differently, or maybe you knew that you were going to win if you knew what the outcome was going to be? Would anyone like to share? Well, I'll start. Like I said, I remember growing up, and you know, we grew up in the country. I was born and raised in Kansas City, Kansas, and you know, even though my parents didn't necessarily teach us to fight, you know, we were from in a big family, and you know, I was more of a tomboy type of a girl anyway. So I always hung around with my brother. And he was always, you know, teaching me things that maybe I should not have gotten into as a little girl, but I was always, you know, really rough. And I remember one day, like I said, at school, this young girl who was like two or three times bigger than me. I mean, she was in the same grade as I was, but it was just to have her challenge me and to pick on me and to bully me. And approaching that particular fight that day, my brother telling me that he was going to be there and that it was going to be okay, you know, gave me a little bit of confidence. And everybody, the whole day at school, I remember everyone telling me, "Ooh, you're going to get your butt whipped. Like, you know, Erica's going to beat the mess out of you when you get home." And I wasn't worried. I didn't care. Like, I knew that it was going to be okay because I knew the minute I got off the bus, my brother was going to be there. And I knew even if I couldn't beat the mess out of her, that my brother would be there and that he would handle it or stop it. So it was like this level of confidence that I had the whole day, almost to the point that I was like being cocky, like, you know, like, you're not going to touch me. You know, my brother's going to be there. And that's the way it is with us with God. It's like our eldest brother, Jesus, is there. He's going to always be ready to be there on our side and to support us and to have our backs in the midst of any circumstances. And we can have that confidence knowing, you know, when we stand on his word that victory is ours. We're more than conquerors. And that, you know, we can succeed at any challenge that we approach. Is there anyone else who'd like to share?
Yeah, this is Brother Eric. How you doing, Pam?
Good morning, Eric. Yes, I
can. All right. Yeah, I wonderful decoration. That's one of my favorite stories. Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. And when you were talking about your confrontation with the bully, that just reminded me of how I was when I grew up in Brooklyn. Now, when I was growing up in Brooklyn, you really had to kind of know how to fight. You had to know how to talk too. And I had two cousins. They were more like brothers, but they, you know, they were my cousin. They were always with me. They were both older than David and Anthony, and I could always count on them, you know. And I was like a little squirt, you know, but I could always count on them to have my back. And so I know the feeling you talk about, because I always had this feeling, man, that no matter what I said, no matter what I did, you know what I'm saying, that Anthony and Dave was going to be there. Now, I mean, I wasn't too bad on the fight department, but I was, you know, I was really, really little short little thing, but I was like all mouth. And I would talk, man. And because I had such a cocky attitude, my mouth, people were more scared of me are more respectful to me because of my mouth, because I spoke things like I knew that this was going to go down, that you were nothing you going to do to me, there's nothing that's going to happen to me. And so, you know, I think about now, you know, when I serve this all-powerful God, that wherever I go, I can, you know, I can speak victory. I can speak victory into all of my situations. You know, I've got a certain amount of confidence, and the synonym of confidence is faith. So I got a certain amount of faith that no matter what happens, you know, I serve an all-powerful God. Who can stand before him? And so even if my stature, my strength is inadequate to the mission, you know, the enemy is got to be respectful for me because I come in the name of an all-powerful God. So I just wanted to share that, and thanks for sending me back down to memory lane. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing. That was good. Anyone else?
I guess I'll go.
Yes.
I didn't have anyone to back me when I was growing up, but the Lord blessed me with reflexes and the ability to protect myself. Again, I'm sure it came from watching and learning from my uncles, but I had an incident at a Olive Garden that I used to work at, and this woman there used to bully me. She used to talk crazy to me, and my grandmother always told me, don't hit a woman, you know, but this woman would not leave me alone. She would talk crazy to me every time I went to the window to pick up my food, and, you know, after a while, she just got on my nerve to where I was so angry I went to reach through and pull her through the window. But I said, that's okay. We'll take care of it. So anyway, she had said something to me, and I said, kiss my wrist. And she went to the management, and the management was like, why you tell this woman to kiss your A? I'm like, I didn't say that. I said, kiss my wrist. And my friend who heard it was cracking up because he said, that's what he said. He didn't say kiss your A. And so the management was like, well, what's the problem? I said, well, this woman picks at me all the time. But I said, that's okay. We'll take care of it. And the manager was like, what do you mean we'll take care of it? I said, be in my spirit, we will do some praying, and it will be taken care of. And for the longest, I guess the woman would walk around talking to people, thinking that I was going to go get somebody to jump out or beat her up. And that was not even my thoughts or intentions. So all I was doing was I went and prayed about it. And that woman left me alone from that point on because it was about prayer. And I wasn't going to let her take me into that area that I used to be in. And the Lord handled it. And all I did was pray and said, we'll take care of it.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. Anyone else had a situation in your life where it seemed like there was no way out? It seemed like you were either being bullying or up against the wall, but yet you were able to approach it with the confidence because you knew that, you know, you have God on your side. You knew that you would come out unscathed. Anyone?
Elder Pam, I just want to talk about something that you said earlier. Miss Juliet, I truly enjoyed your take me back, actually. I just wanted to say that, you know, had I not believed God as unorthodox in as far as the situation was to my family, as well as to me in certain points, then I wouldn't have got the greatest gift. And that, for me, is my husband, you know. Even though I hadn't seen him, and we just talked on the phone for 2 years, and he lived way on the other side of the country, because I was listening to God and didn't listen to man. Because, I mean, yeah, I mean, I understood with my family how they felt. You don't know this man. He could be a murderer. He could be this. He could be that. But, you know, I trusted God. And there was times that when I was really scared, but, you know, he would calm me because he would speak to me from his word about the situation, and I knew it had to be him, you know. And so I listened, and now we're almost We're going on 6 years. I just thank the Lord I listened to his voice.
Wow. Wow, that's good. That's good. Is there anyone else who'd like to share? So the three things that I had said that we as believers need to stand firm on is our knowledge that God is faithful, that we need to believe God, and that we need to be ready to do whatever he calls us to do. And would anyone like to share a situation where, just like Juliet was saying about her stepping out and doing what God called her to do with regards to her husband, has anyone else had an experience or a situation in their lives where they had to, everybody else thought you were crazy, it didn't make no sense, it didn't look right, but continue to step out and do what God called you to do, what God told you to do, you followed his word and his instructions to the T. Anyone?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello. Praise God. This is Sister Gloria. I've been resisting this, but I'll share an incident I had. I was working as a, well, I'll say, administrative assistant, and I saw my file, and this was a new person in office, and his he had objective was termination for me, and he put me on, and I'd been there for a number of years. He put me on probation, and anyway, I had to be on time and so forth and so on, because that was one of my issues. And I was at church one night, and the pastor said that the fowler was captured in his own snare, and that was a light for me. This man was going for the permanent position. The panel was stacked in his favor, and I prayed that prayer every day that he would be, that he would be caught in his own snare. To make a long story short, I did not get terminated, and he did not get the position. And people would come to me who were not believers and say, God is real, because they knew it was a setup, and by all their standards, I should have been terminated and he should have been hired. So that was, I'll never forget that incident. And I knew that I was saved because what came out of my mouth, he said, I guess you heard that I didn't get the job. And instead of my saying, well, you know, you didn't deserve it, I said, I'm sorry, you didn't get what you asked for. And I was surprised. I said, Lord, that was you speaking, because my flesh wanted to celebrate, but my spirit was kind to him. And anyway, I shouted in the restroom like the slaves did when they found out they were free. God is awesome. Hallelujah.
Wow. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. That's like a Mordecai Haman type of story. Wow. That's beautiful. The enemy intended to ensnare you, and God turned it around for good. Amen.
Amen.
Would anyone else like to share?
I'm being talkative this morning. Please forgive me.
No, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
I had an incident. I used to drive a cab in Memphis, Tennessee, and it shouldn't have escalated like it did, but I had an incident with another cab driver who was picking at me. All I was doing was trying to find out who was driving. Like, we had cab stands. And one of the cab stands was a cab sitting there with the we recognized numbers. And so I was looking for the driver, and I was asking where the driver was, but I was just parked next to him. And this guy was like, you need to park your car and quit trying to skip the line. And I'm like, you know, I'm not trying to skip the line. I'm trying to find out where the driver is. Doesn't anyone know where the driver is? And he just kept picking at me. So I kind of got irritated, and I pulled my cab behind the whole line, and I got out. And I was like, what's the problem? And he walked up on me, and he kept talking crazy. Now, my flesh was like, oh, you don't know who you're talking to. I mean, I'm not who you want to piss off right now. And he just kept talking to me, and he was right up in my face, like a few inches from my face, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to knock this man out. And then I got to thinking, wait, that's not how a Christian should do. I confess being a Christian, following Christ. So I backed up, and I said, that's okay. I'm done. I'm out. And he just, you know, wouldn't let it go, but I backed up, and I walked off, and I left. And I'm not saying that this had anything to do with me, but it made me think about when the word says, touch not my anointed, nor do my prophets any harm. 2 weeks later, within 2 weeks, I heard about a cab being hit by some kids running from the police in an SUV. And they didn't tell me who it was. But I went to see the cab, and it looked like a train had hit the cab. In other words, the passenger side. Now, we're talking about we were driving Crown Victorias. I don't know if you know about a Crown Victoria, but that's a really strong old car. And the passenger side of the car was like 6 inches from the driver's side of the car. So if anyone was sitting in that seat, they were crushed immediately. So I went and looked at the cab, and I recognized the cab number, and I'm like, oh, my God, I wonder was it the guy. And come to find out, it was him. He was killed in that cab. He was crushed. And it made me nervous and to the point where I was like, okay, you know, you really don't know who you're talking to when you allow anger to come in, and you don't know what you're doing to who. So it's best that you don't say anything and let God handle it. And I don't know if it had anything to do with me, but within 2 weeks he was gone. And so it made me have a different thought of what to say or not say to people.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Is there anyone else? Hello. Well, I just want to encourage everyone this morning, you know, as it is Make It Happen Monday, to really begin to look at, you know, what it is in our lives that is lacking, what it is that we need to do to take that next step to really do what God is calling each of us to do. And if it means to stand up and to know how faithful God is, if it means to really believe him on a whole nother level, or to be willing to step out and to do whatever he's calling us to do, whether it
Good morning. I have something to share.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. I shared it before, I think, on Saturday, but the Spirit is just leading me to share it again because it involved my boy. Thank you for your declaration, Jordan. On Christmas, before Christmas, I was blessed to get 2 Christmas trees for free. And I want to also thank Bridget, because with that extra money, I was able to go to the dollar store and get items that we later gave little gift bags to Old Man's Park to the homeless on Christmas, and my boys were able to pass that out. But in saying all of that, the 2 Christmas trees I got, I decorated. One was a little Charlie Brown Christmas tree, and it had like about 6 leaves on it, real small. And I had another one, so I left it outside. I thought someone would take it, but no one pretty much takes stuff around here. So, but when I was driving home with that tree, the Lord told me to knock on this door and give this tree to this lady. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that because that's just too crazy. So I went home and got on my Bible study that night. We got off the phone around 9:30, and I got in bed, and it was real cold that night. I got in the bed next to my husband, and I was like, oh, I'm going to bed. And so forth. And the Lord said, get up, put on your clothes, and go get that lady that tree. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. It's cold. It's 9:30 at night. I'm not knocking on my door. He said, get up and go knock on her door and give her the tree. So I knew I couldn't wake up my husband because he had to be up early that the next morning. So I got my boys. I said, okay, y'all, we're going to go down the street and get this lady the tree. And my oldest son called me and said, okay, Mom, out of all the things you do, now this one is just too crazy. I don't think we should do it. So I said, no, we're going to go ahead and go. So I gathered him and Solomon, and I said, let's go get the tree. We couldn't find that little Charlie Brown tree outside. And Kwame said, ooh, can't find the tree. So let's go, Mama. I said, mm-mm. God is a God of order. That tree is here. So what I did is I said, look in the trash can. And it wasn't a trash can, per se. It was the green waste. It was there. Cedric had put it in the green waste. So I told Kwame to take it and shake it because it might have bugs on it. So he shook the little tree, and then I said, well, don't put it in the car because I didn't know if it had bugs. So I said, hang it outside and let it shake it out. So we went down the street. By that time, it was about 9:40, made a U-turn. I told him to knock on the door. He said, Mama, I don't know about this. I don't know. This is crazy. I said, I know, but we got to be obedient. I said, because he keeps talking in my right ear, and we got to do this. So he knocks on the lady's door. She didn't have a security gate. She kind of opened it a little bit. And Kwame said, well, do you need a tree? And then I said, I rolled down the window. I said, ma'am, forgive me, but I have to be obedient. The Lord told me to come and give you this tree. I said, I don't know if you're a believer or not. She said, oh, my God, I was just praying for a tree. I was just asking God for a Christmas tree. And I said, well, I got the same tree. I said, it didn't take me long to decorate it. She said, I'm going to dress it up real pretty, real pretty. She said, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And she was praising God as she shut the door. And not only was it me being obedient, but my boys also got to see, listening to the voice of God, look what happened. I said, now do you guys kind of believe all the stuff that I've been saying? Yeah, Mama, that was crazy, but wow, she really needed that tree. She was so happy. So hope that helps someone. And, Andre, I love your story, too. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much for your share. Yeah, God is calling each of us to really step out and to just trust him at his word and to do whatever it is that he's calling us to do. Anyone else would like to speak before we come to a close? Well, I want to encourage everyone today is Make It Happen Monday. And I really want to encourage you, even though, you know, it might seem crazy, even though it may not make any sense, I really want to encourage us all to really step out, listen to the word of God and to heed his voice, and to trust him and do what it is that he calls us, each of us, to do.
Good morning, this is Ruth.
Yes, Ruth.
Oh, I wanted to say something really quick. I didn't mean to cut you off. I wanted to say last Friday, I was asked to, I got a call 1 week before, so about a week ago, I got a call to cater for the NFL Super Bowl event that was at the Paramount to cook for 100 people in a green room. And but about a month ago, I was asked to cater for my friend's mom repast. And so when I got the call for the Paramount, I was like, well, you know, how am I going to do this? Because I've already committed myself to catering for my friend's repast. And so it was just so odd how it happened because when I got the call, I was like, you know, how am I going to call Kim and cancel? You know, I haven't seen her in over 10 years. And so when I got the call, I got the message. I said, oh, this is going to be a lot of money. You know, oh, I'm about to, you know, it's going to be big. Oh, I'm about to, you know. And God worked in mysterious ways. When I talked to the lady, when I finally talked to her, she said, we heard that you was one of the top caterers in the Bay Area. We'd like for you to cater for 100 people in the green room at the Paramount. You'll get to meet celebrities and take pictures. Your staff will get free tickets. And come to find out, this lady wanted me to cook for 100 people in exchange for Noah Wrighty. She wanted me to, and she offered me $200. And that week I just asked God, you know, please bless the catering business. And I was actually going to ask somebody, please, you know, get me in, you know, could somebody get me in there so I can cater for the celebrities at the green, in the green room. Well, he answered that prayer, but he also, you know, allowed me to make a decision. Should I cook for the, these people at the Paramount, or should I stay obedient and, you know, and committed and go ahead and prepare the food for my friend's repast? Well, with all that said, and after her, after that lady offered me only $200 to cook for 100 people, I would have to come out of my pocket, which I didn't have. I end up, you know, as I said no to that, and I end up catering for my friend Kim. And I tell you, although I catered for just about 80 people, I didn't know it was well worth it. I'm glad I stayed obedient. She was very happy, very pleased with my service and the food. Instead of, you know, taking a job at the Paramount for only $200, would have had to come out of my pocket. It just wasn't worth it just to cook for some celebrities. So I'm glad I was obedient in that the entire situation. And I came home. I was very, you know, very glad that I catered for Kim. And it was something. But I feel like I made the right choice. And I was obedient to what God asked me to do.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing. Is there anyone else who'd like to share at this time? If not, like I said, this is Make It Happen Monday, so I really want to encourage us all to really reach out and to be a blessing to someone who's in need. I also want to mention that tonight is Marriage Matters, and I want to invite all married couples or married hopefuls to join in on that 6 p.m. call. And I just want to encourage us all to just really step out and to just do what God's calling us to do. Just do it. Just trust Him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and just do what He's called each of us to do. Amen. I love you guys all, and look forward to hearing your voices tomorrow morning. Take care. Have a blessed day.
You too. Blessings.
Be blessed.
You be blessed as well.
Wow.
Like the new
That's the thing.
That's the tree. Huh? That's the tree, Mom.
Sounds good. Have a good day. Bye, Shelby. Vicki, come on. Yeah, it ain't cool, whatever it is. Might be this bot. No, that ain't cool. Thank you. Don't forget the garbage.
Help me, help me. on the white tail Rosita.
Oh my God, you killed the cat off the birdie tail.
Yeah.
Because it's all me.
you've got a friend. That's 845-1-845-1-845-1-844. Complete disclosure of APR fees and terms. Loan approval and terms subject to all state standards. Loan to be pursuant to California Department of Business Oversight, financed under license 303.